Hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. Welcome again to another episode on Talk Architecture, and I'm your host, Naziati Muhammad Yaqub. Today's topic is what I am thinking about now, which is about creating and designing strategies for the ecosystem that has to do with environmental, social, and governance in a community. Now, we talk a lot about this, and we try to do it practically as well. And creating ecosystems is a much more holistic and a complete form of governance that is a strategy from the interpretation of this a term that has been bandied around for a long time, which is actually to do with sustainability. In the business context, sustainability is about the company's business model. So the business is not just one company resolving everything. The business is to do with an ecosystem where there are several companies involved and several concepts may intermingle and gel together to make a bigger concept under ESG. We talk about environmental a lot, but what about social? Social is to do with people, so it's a bit more difficult, obviously, to get people to agree, to get the doubters to buy in, to get those who, you call it the laggers, or people who are look, see first before you want to join, to also come into the, buy into the idea. So something that I'm working on with collaborators and in many situations, not only in one situation, when we put together something and it is thought about in context, in very detailed manner about what is happening, what actually happens and what could succeed or not, and trying to build companies or trying to build the system, it's gotta work in one way. And then it'll just create a chain reaction in another way. And it's not a precise science, it's a precise art. Now, why we talk about art being precise? Because it's expression of an individual's talent or emotions or intuition to create something. But it's precise. The problem is to think that when people dig deep into their psyche or into themselves, that is something chaotic. It's nature. Nature is chaotic. That's what people think. That you put science in this corner, you put art in this corner. This one is subjective. This one is objective. And then, you know, qualitative versus quantitative. And then you say that science is the more logical, reasonable, practical, or the one that has a determinant in it for you to count on and put money, invest in, into. And most probably it will work because it has predictors, predictions that is based on statistics. We've heard of Moneyball. We heard about some ideas in sports where you want to, for the least amount of money you can produce in the long term, a sports team that is more successful and able to get all the trophies. Yeah. That you want to set your desire to be in. And we've heard about those things and, you know, the success of the team depends not only on the stars, but on the academy or the younger players. It's about the whole team, but it's very subjective. The coach is a very emotional person. The coach relies on his intuition. Yes, he predicts the strategies, overall strategy and the tactics within the play to win the game. And this is based on predictabilities in terms of the player's skills and performances. But you can't deny there's emotion in it. Why must chaos be equating to emotion? Because the more we deny the sense and intuition in all this, the more we are being lazy to think. Because when we relegate, or get machines to do the work, like artificial intelligence, for example. Where is the creativity when you're not using human beings' intuition? It is limited, artificial intelligence, because knowledge is created all the time. Now, looking at an ecosystem, we predict, of course, but we don't negate emotions. We don't negate people, how they feel. You know, the design of the everyday things, right? People acquire something that is a novelty, even though it doesn't make sense. And they go with a gut feeling that something makes sense at that time. Everything comes together. People are not, shall we say, robots. Going back to what I'm thinking about in terms of accessibility issues. Because a lot of the accessibility issues to do with discussion and getting it right on at the site. And it's not only to do with physical access, to do with communication, is to do with information, is to do with getting help. Other scientific or scientific-based situation, like whether there's rain, it's wet, the surface of the floor, the design, whether there is a railing or no railings, whether the door opens automatically or not. And you have the physical effort to open the door, the physical effort to go across the ramp or the steps onto, the next level. And then negotiating your way through that space to try to find your way to do the job that you won't intend to do or just to browse. Their whole experience is quite sensorial as well. Have you thought about the lighting? Have you thought about the smell, taste, and sounds and tactility? And it's not only for the blind person, the tactility aspects. It's also for the others, everyone. So when you think about sensory design more than universal design, then you get to another stage where you are looking at more on, does it make sense? Does it seem to feel right? Is it intuitively, inherently a good thing that what you're doing? A lot of us go into something sensing it. Because if we don't use our senses, then we're not really being aware or made self-aware and mindful about the situation that we are in, the new situation. And this is what environmental and social and governance is about. The ability to actually get together the subjective and the objective parts of the whole setup. So when I go into this ecosystem, I'm thinking about, yes, we'll do the signs. The sign's going to be there, but then the sign's going to help, shall we say, create a situation for the art. We've got to make it fun, meaning the people got a feel for it. If you're going to have a system that you're not being part of the creative part. You know, you are not involved in the creative part of it. And actually, it's not predictable manipulation. It's that you could make choices and that you could identify with the product. I mean, when we look at Apple iPhone, I don't really care for the design so much. I mean, the design is, it lacks tactility. I mean, you get your fingers numb after a while. And yeah, we don't have Blackberries now, but you know, it's kind of, I do appreciate the good sound system, and the AirPods is kind of flimsy. But you know, it's just in your face and you got to buy it because it's the only product there that is on its own class. Yeah, you could debate that the Android phones are good as well. But what I'm trying to say is that it is not really pushing its limit because that's the price that you pay for scientific objects that are limited. But these things do not dictate your life. You mean, what I mean is that you make choices and decisions. Now, if a business owner has a premise and he'd think that disabled persons would be his customers, he wants to empathize, they want to empathize with their customers, and they want to make it for all. The idea to have it for all is because they feel they embody the environmental, social, and governance. They are the governance. They are the business. They can determine how things can work. They take pride in helping others and in facilitating and accommodating reasonably and beyond reason, beyond their job scope, you know. And it's environmentally safe and secure, and it's to do with also ecological concerns and the climate change issues. So when business owner, they realize ESG is them, then there is no way to stop them from improving themselves. But how would our business model make them realize that the products that they would come out with, which includes the venue in which they sell their products, usually there's like a... Now here we come to the realm of the speculation, a speculative, sorry, area, where a lot of spaces are built speculatively, meaning... Yes, I'm a developer. I'm going to just have 20 by 40 feet space for hundreds of shops in my complex, in my building complex, and design for it. But who is designing for it? It's the architect. But the building owner or the developer could ensure that the architect have a sense of design, at least accessibility, at least universal design, at least sensorial design, meaning has taken the ESG and got the architect to actually do your job here, because I want this place to feel very intuitive for the shop owner. But the basics are there, 20 by 40. You can make it accessible, you don't make it accessible. And accessibility of a 20, 40 and hundreds of shops, maybe thousands, whatever. And where are the toilets? Where are the toilets? Where are the entrances? Where are the information counters? Where are... How do you negotiate this space? Now, when you think about what is happening out there, already been built, they didn't think of it like that. And we got sorted out. So what is the incentive for the business owner and the tenant or the owner of the building? What is the incentive? Or what is the legacy? What is the business model? It's beyond legacy, it's beyond incentive. It's a business model. I mean, legacy is one thing. It's an embrace of the whole concept of ESG. Now, if there's more E and less S, you know, you won't have the people coming in. If there's more S and less E, you have more of the people coming in. Because S is the clue to the whole business, the social part. Social, cultural, social, economic, social, a lot of other socials, I suppose. That they are intersectional, or that they are already there, in which they're their own thing, an own concept. And they're not limited. We don't only deal with these words. We can create other words. So that's why, as a human being, you could create things and make it much more interesting to for people to think about it, to reflect about it. Now, I dare say that if we approach an ecosystem for accessibility, universal design, and sensorial design, it is something that makes sense to the business model and the whole idea of wanting that to be, identifying that to be. Now, identifying yourself with something could be a shield or a second clothing, a layer upon yourself, because you need to present yourself like that. But if you were to take that superpower and insert it inside of you and be that person that could transform things and make things happen for other people as a business person, that's something else. That is really something else. We have social entrepreneurs. We have all sorts of terms out there that is coming our way, or we're trying to learn about it, and it becomes a trend, and then we need to know about it because we'd like to be involved in it. But reflecting quietly upon ourselves and thinking of the purpose of it all and why, how we got into the business of whatever business that we're in. We'd want people to enjoy. We'd want children. We'd want elderly people. We'd want everyone to be involved. Even if it's targeted to be for youth, or, you know, doesn't mean that we're going to exclude others. And it is, the idea of accessibility is not piecemeal. If you create like a shop or a place to experience like wall climbing or whatever they call it, bouldering sport, and then you think, oh, these people, they don't really need accessibility. We have a set of steps here and make it difficult for them. What sort of empathy is that? You'd want to minimize the steps when you come in into the main area. Although they'll be doing bouldering with all their limbs, and some people can't do it because of certain physicality, or, you know, the way they may injure themselves and so on. But it doesn't mean that it cannot come into that main space and participate and be part of it. I've come across a situation where I wasn't sure that I want to be... I can't play a game, but I want to be there to see or support those people there. It could be a sports center, but then I was thinking, oh my God, maybe there are too many steps and I'd be, you know, problematic for me. You see, I want to be there just to be there. You know, it'd be great if there is access to the sports itself where I can play, a wheelchair basketball or wheelchair tennis or badminton or whatever it is. That'd be great. It'd be great if I'm there and sweating it out and also getting excited about playing with other people, you know. So So you pigeonhole. You know, this one is for this type of people, so we don't have to have this thing. That's the problem with thinking in boxes. So if a business owner takes upon themselves to embrace ESG wholeheartedly and provide, you know, give it like the reason for living, for goodness sake, you know, to get everybody in, then that will be the whole idea of the ecosystem that could last as long as it could. So with that, I would like to conclude with some statements from what is ESG? What is environmental social governance? It's also about companies' risk management, how it manages its own operations to minimize negative impact. So when we talk about social aspect, companies have a responsibility for their employees as well as their impact on the societies in which they operate, for instance, in terms of working conditions, labor rights, and diversity. So this is just a company that I took off from the internet and how it deals with ESG. There are other companies. In simple terms, I have a recap here, which is ESG stands, like I said earlier, for environmental, social, and governance. It is a framework used to evaluate a company's sustainability and ethical impact. Oh, the word ethical is here now. How do you measure ESG? First, you have to understand the theory of ESG and its factors. The ESG factors are environmental. This factor evaluates the company's impact on the environment. It considers carbon emissions, waste management, pollution, and climate change. Social. This factor evaluates a company's impact on society. It considers labor practices, human rights, community involvement, diversity, and customer satisfaction. Governance. This factor evaluates the company's management and decision-making processes. It considers board composition, executive pay, shareholder rights, and transparency. When we talk about companies, businesses, obviously how it sustains financially is important, but how it approaches its model and its customers and clients and its people that's working for it is also a big deal. It's not corporate social responsibility where there's a little program with a little budget that shows that you're just doing something for the community. It is not like a small added thing, an appendix. It is the main thing, a whole approach. And in architecture as well, I just like to add a bit about architecture. When you design a building, an architect design a building, they would think about universal design in terms of only standards. Have we complied? Is there accessible toilet where it should be? Is there car parking? Is it the right size? And so on. So we need to move on from just thinking about standards. We need to move on. At least our business model is not dealing with just purely standards. It deals with the whole ESG framework in this regard. So with that, I'd just like to leave you with some thoughts and reflections. If you're a business owner or you're an architect or you're a social entrepreneur and the word social means something and is something that is more than just to tick boxes and checklists, is also to do with the ecosystem, is to do with the right way and approach of doing thing, all embracing, making the impact that we really need to make, creating the models, business models that will be emulated and will be the one that people look as the pioneers or the ones that have the most impact. Let's reflect on this issue and discuss further. And the best, of course, is to actually make it work. Thank you very much for listening.